Amen. Thank you, Karen, and congratulations to you on your second graduation from the University of Louisville. Go Cards. Congratulations to all of our seniors. This is a huge milestone in your life as you commence now to the direction that God is leading you in your life, and we pray all great success for you, and we want to celebrate this milestone with you today here at church. We have had beautiful and glorious music this morning. Amen and amen. And just wait till next Sunday. I'm so looking forward to seeing you here for worship, seeing your eyes and your hair at least. And I know we're going to be wearing masks, and I just hate that, but we got to do it. We have to do it. We have to be grown up about it. And that kind of leads me to the text of what I want to speak about today. As we think about graduating seniors who are moving from the adolescent years into the young adult ages, it's a huge step of maturity. And all of us are moving into new ages of life in our life cycle. You know, the life cycle begins as an infant and then as a child, and then in adolescence and pre-adolescence and adolescence, and then into young adulthood, and then to adult and middle adulthood, and then senior adulthood. And I pray that this message about growing up in Christ and maturing as a believer will challenge you, because it's one of the greatest needs in our churches this day. The coronavirus has challenged our maturity. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to continue to serve? Are we going to look for new ways to minister to other people and continue with missions and our stewardship? So when we are challenged, it challenges our maturity. And hopefully we've been able to grow up a little more as we have faced the challenges in this coronavirus time. I want to share with you from the scriptures today in Colossians chapter 3. I preached from this passage last Sunday, didn't quite finish all I wanted to say. I had about three or four different sermons going there last Sunday and just couldn't get them all in. But today I want us to focus on this concept of maturity. The word for mature, or to grow up, or to maturity as it's translated so often in scriptures, is the Greek word telios, and it means the end goal or completion, are to arrive where God intends you to be. And this term, this one Greek word, is mentioned in the New Testament over 40 times. Over 40 times. Growing up, maturing in Christ. And so as we congratulate our seniors and those who are graduating from high school and college and other schools as well, our hearts are thinking about growing up. I like the pictures that we had on the screen of when these seniors were just children, and to see them now, and to see the great changes that have taken place in their life. You know, time doesn't stand still. Time moves along, and we have that opportunity in our lifetime to become all that Christ wants us to be and not miss out on any of the blessings at each stage of growth and development as a disciple. Now, you've noticed that in the last several Sundays since we completed the Gospel of John that I've been using that concept of disciple or discipleship. That's really the heart of the Bible in New Testament times. We are challenged to be disciples who make disciples. And that's a part of our maturing in Christ. When we come to the point that we're making other disciples and maturing them, then we are enjoying a higher level of blessing and purpose in life than just being a disciple that's trying to grow myself. And so that's what you'll be hearing from me going down the road in the future, because it is God's challenge to the church, and I feel led to preach that way here at, where am I, Akron Baptist Church. All right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And one of our seniors had this as their favorite verse of Scripture. I thought this was just wonderful. Chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for just men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Our Father and our God, we gather today as the family of God to offer to you our praise and our glory. Lord, we pray that you will receive our offerings of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise, because you alone, Lord, are worthy of all that we have, all that we are, to praise you and glorify your name. We know, Lord, from Scripture that you are glorified when we grow in Christ, when we move from being a simple child in the faith to maturity in the faith, from drinking milk to eating the mature words of the Bible, and enjoying that spiritual growth that comes from consuming the Word of God. We pray today on behalf of those who are stricken by this coronavirus, suffering even now as I'm praying. They're unable to breathe. They're in ICU. They're struggling, Lord. And our hearts go out to them and their families. And we pray, Lord, on their behalf that there will be a medication, a remedy, a relief, a miracle on their part for them and for others who will contract this awful disease. We pray, O God, that our government leaders will have wisdom. And as our state begins to reopen and our churches welcome folks back in, that we will use mature and wise guidance to care for one another, to love one another, to keep each other safe so that we can grow in fellowship and in age and not be destroyed by this virus. We pray your blessings upon this sermon, Lord, that you will help the stuttering preacher to proclaim the Word of God boldly and faithfully. Give us, Lord, insight that will challenge us to enjoy the blessings that you have in store for your kids as we grow up to be more like Jesus in all things. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. When I think about the rite of passage called graduation, some statistics come to my mind that I've looked up this week that are very startling. And one of those statistics is of the number of young adults that are involved in worship at least twice a month, attend at least twice a month, after graduation from high school and move on into the workaday world or to college, only 60% of those will drop out of church. 60%, only about 40, 45% will remain active in worship. I encourage every student that's going on to college, look up the BCM, Baptist Campus Ministry on all of our campuses. Kentucky Baptist are doing a marvelous job of putting student ministers on those campuses and giving you some of the best opportunities to grow in the Lord, to get involved in missions, to clarify your place in the world, your purpose in life, your calling from God. Get involved with those folks. My sons were involved with BCM, and the oldest one didn't have an opportunity to go on the intern slots that they had graduation time until somebody backed out. Somebody couldn't go, and they asked my oldest son, James, at U of L, can you go? Are you available? He said, yeah, where am I going? They said, well, you're going to Hawaii. Well, that didn't work out too bad. He went to Hawaii and stayed in Hawaii, and he's there now with my grandson and his wife. So you never know where it's going to take you. My youngest son graduated U of L, and he had opportunity to go on the same intern to Georgia Tech. And while he was at Georgia Tech, he met his wife. And so, you know, God uses those opportunities to mature you, to grow you up, to give you a chance to experiment with your calling. And so today I want to begin this message from chapter 3, verses 23 to 24 there as we speak about grown-up disciples. Grown-up disciples. Disciples are called by God to mature in Christ. Folks, it's our job to grow up. Now, you parents, think about it for a minute. How often have you said or thought about saying to your child, would you just grow up? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody that acted immaturely and you just wanted to tell them, would you just grow up? Well, friends, God is saying to all of us, would you please grow up? I have a blessing for you. I have a mission for you. I have a purpose for you. In fact, it is the will of God that we move from infancy in faith in Christ to maturity, so much so that we are making disciples of others. We are moving from being a brand new disciple to making disciples of others as well. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, here's some of those grow up passages in the New Testament where it uses the word teleos, which means complete. Let us press on to maturity. Come on, church. Let's press on to maturity. Let's don't get hung up in the elementary things, he says. Let's move on to the greater truths of the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 4 says, let endurance have its perfect result. Endurance, patience, being willing to tolerate, being willing to... Here's a grown-up feature. You know you're grown up. You know you're grown up when you can delay gratification. A child has a hard time waiting. A child has a hard time delaying gratification. I want it. I want it now. In fact, children are tuned into themselves and my needs and what I want right now. But when you mature and when you grow, you can wait. You can persevere. See? And he says, let endurance have its teleos result, its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, we are to become conformed to the image of Christ. And what that tells me is, growing up is a lifetime challenge. There's no such thing as a 100% mature, graduated Christian. The only time you'll graduate is when you breathe your last in this earth and wake up in God's holy heaven. So as long as we're living, this is a sermon, this is a message from God's Word that's applying to all of us, me especially. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, we're to grow up in all aspects unto Christ, who is the head. He's the head of the church, even Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he says, we are fellow workers with Christ. We work along beside him. So first of all, Christian maturity is the will of God. And Paul says it plainly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For this is the will of God for you, the sanctification of your souls. And he gives us a hint to what this big theology word is. Sanctification is moving up the steps of maturity to become more and more conformed to be like Jesus Christ. The only complete, perfect human being was Jesus. And God is growing us through the Holy Spirit, Jesus living in us, so that we would become like him. What if you refuse to grow up? And there's a lot of people who are stuck because of some injury, some illness, some incident that's happened in our life, and we've just all of a sudden decided we're going to quit reading our Bible, we're going to quit praying, we're going to quit going to church, we're going to just lay out for a while. You know what that's called in the Bible? That's called sin. The refusal to grow up, the refusal to mature is called sin. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The great advantages of growing up as a Christian is that you won't be caught in some sin or some evil incident that hinders you from your Christian growth. Whatever is keeping you from letting God be God is your idol. And that idol may be injury that you've experienced. It may be a personal hurt in the church that you have experienced. Some other Christian may have let you down because they weren't a perfect example. I can go on and on, but anything that you point to and blame and say, that's the reason that I quit God, or that I divorced the church, or that I quit serving, that's your God. That's an idol, and that's sin. And that's keeping you as a babe in Christ. And so often, we act like five-year-olds. We really do. But God wants us to mature in Christ so that we can do some of the things that He wants us to do. And that leads me to my second point in the passage. Ministry is the pathway to Christian maturity. Ministry is the pathway to Christian maturity. How do I grow up in Christ? Learn to serve. And that's what he's saying here. Here in chapter 3 of Colossians, New Testament scholars call this portion of Paul's letter the Haustafel. That's just a German word for saying instructions for the household. And in the household, he talks about the husband and wife, the mom and the dad, and then the children, and then those who are employed in the house. Okay? And it may be hard for you to believe this, but in Bible days, when the family gathered for worship, you had mom, dad, you had children, and you had slaves. And they were all Jews. And he's saying to the slaves here in this passage of Scripture, you're to serve your master like you're to serve the Lord. And we compare that in modern times, not to justify slavery by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, this passage itself is one of the reasons that slavery was dissolved in biblical times. Simply because if a master treated a slave like his fellow brother in Christ, he would have no reason to have a slave to start with. And so this is not an abolition of slavery passage, but it was used in the Civil War times to justify slavery. And that's so sad that we can take the Bible and pervert it in such a way to do evil to other people. That's really a childish way to use the Bible. But the mature way to use the Bible is to understand what it meant in those days and then try to understand what it means for us today. And so we think about how we are to serve at work, how we are to serve our employers, and how employers are to treat employees. And he said, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for other men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, and it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. It is through Christian service, it's through ministry to other people that we mature and grow. All maturity, hear this clearly, all maturity, whether psychologically or physically or spiritually, occurs in relationships. There is no spiritual maturity, there is no emotional maturity, there is no physical maturity apart from relationships. You cannot be an isolated Lone Ranger Christian and grow in the Lord. It just doesn't happen. Jesus talks about ministry and compares the seeds that were sown in the different kinds of soil. One kind of seed, four kinds of soil. Three of the soils, the seed did nothing. One, it died, the birds came and got it. And the second one, it had no root, and so it withered away. And the third seed, when it fell in the soil, it fell in thorny soil and rocky soil, and it came up for a while, but the thorns choked it out. Kind of looks like my front yard right now, Richard, to be honest with you. But the fourth seed fell on good soil. And what did it do? It multiplied 100 times. The idea of multiplication is the concept of biblical discipleship. When a person comes to Christ, that person shares the gospel with a second person, and that second person shares the gospel with another person, so that the first person who shares the gospel, that seed is multiplied again and again and again. And it's the multiplication process that produces growth. And ministry is when you are reaching out to other people. Ministry can be messy at times. Ministry is challenging at times. Ministry can be even scary at times because you're asked of God or placed by the Holy Spirit in a place that you're not used to. It's kind of new. It's kind of different. But you will adjust because that's what adults do. They adjust. They don't run. They don't run away. They don't hide. They adjust to the circumstances And that's what we're to do in the ministry opportunities that are around us. In Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 1 and 2, Paul talks about his ministry with the church at Colossae. And hear his heart. Just listen to Paul's heart. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle, his heart struggle, I have on your behalf for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not seen my face yet, that their hearts would be encouraged. Paul's heart was in tune for people who were discouraged. Paul's heart went out to the people who were oppressed, to the people who tried to believe in the gospel but were hindered by satanic forces. And Paul's heart hurt because the church was hurting. Paul's heart hurt because the church was being prevented from passing on the gospel to other people. Paul's heart was hurt when God's people were persecuted for the faith. Well, folks, that's called compassion. Compassion. He said, I pray that their hearts will be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Knit together in love. And attaining to all the wealth that comes from a full assurance of understanding and resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. Paul wanted the church at Colossae to be knit together in love. Now, to be knit together, if you've seen any kind of knitting at all, it kind of looks like this. You got a strand here and a strand here and a strand here. And when it's knit together and you pull on it, it doesn't come apart. But if you wad it up and everybody's on top of each other, it doesn't look too pretty. But when everybody's got boundary and everybody knows their job and everybody's working according to their gifts, it's a beautiful piece of quilt work. And that's a picture of the church. The church is everybody bowling in their own lane toward the same goal. Fellowship in the church is everybody in the boat rowing in the same direction. That's the picture of New Testament fellowship in the church. And that's ministry. And it takes a heart of compassion, a heart of empathy, and a heart of love to say, I am so in tune with where we're going and what God wants us to do that I will work side by side with you. Though we be different, we row with a different strength. We're rowing in the same direction to make disciples. Because that's what God told the church to do. Go and make disciples. And it takes mature ministry to accomplish that goal. So empathy and compassion, like Paul had a love for a people, he wanted to be with them at all costs so he could minister with them. Today, people are wanting something different from the church. When you ask people, what do you want from your church? What do you look for when you are trying to find a church? And here's what they'll tell you they're looking for. They're looking for a real good worship service. One that's energizing. One with a sermon that'll apply to my life and help me raise my kids. They're looking for strong, age-specific ministries. What do you have for my children? What do you have for my youth? I'm a senior adult. What do you have for me? That's what people are looking for these days. They're looking for a certain style of music. People will actually get up and leave a church based upon the style of music that's in that church. They're looking for a strong sermon, a strong pot of coffee, and a place to park their car that they don't have to walk very far. That's what people are looking for in a church. What's God looking for in a church? What's God looking for in a church? The commandment from the Lord is this, love one another as I have loved you. Folks, that's ministry. That's you and I not receiving when we go to church, but you and I giving when we leave the church. That's you and I getting our hands dirty as we go into the community and love people who are unloved, people who live on the margins, people who are oppressed, people who are left out, people who are lonely, people who are hurting. That's the ministry God's called us to do, and we're to bring hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, the Lord said, look after the widows and orphans in their distress. That's the most vulnerable people in our congregation. Who are those people? They're the people that we're to focus on. And he also said, go and make disciples of all nations. Didn't say anything about a parking lot or a cup of coffee. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, what kind of church are we? Which of those two are we? And I would ask you this question. If the church did not provide the things from the first list, would it be upset as much as if we didn't obey the commands in the second list? Which bothers us the most, that we don't have coffee or that we don't have a ministry to the least of these? Which bothers us the most? Wow. Ministry. That's how we grow up. That's how we mature. That's how we move from being, I'm here for me and what I can get, to I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. Third and finally, he says in this passage of Scripture, it's the Lord that you serve. For in verse 25, he said, he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Folks, there's a day of accounting coming for every Christian. Jesus ministered for 3 years. If you only had 3 years left in your life, and you knew you only had 3 years, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the next 3 years? I read this week about a class that kind of helps me understand about the day of accountability coming. Can you imagine me teaching a class at college, Karen? And I told the students, I'm going to give you lectures, but you're to go out and take this lecture, and you're to teach one other person. That's what we're going to do all semester. I'll teach, you get the words down, you take the notes, but you go find somebody else, and you teach that other person the lessons. And for the final exam, that other student is going to come in and take your test. And whether they pass or fail is whether you pass or fail. That's what discipleship is. That's really what discipleship is. It's taking the good news of the gospel that I've received and sharing it with someone else so that on judgment day they will stand before God and say, I know the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. So what do you need to be doing to take that next step in maturity? Maybe a little more time with the Bible, a little more time on your knees, a little more time ministering to other people, a little more time praying and having a broken heart for the least of these around you. That's where you'll find Jesus. Walk with Him, and He'll help you grow up. Thank you for sharing today. Looking forward to seeing you next Sunday in worship here at Akron Baptist Church. I long to see you. It's going to be a great fellowship. I hope we have so many people we'll have to use the overflow. But we're ready for you. You just come on. God's going to be glorified, and all will be encouraged in the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you for the truth of your word that challenges us to make disciples. We need to grow up and do this. Lord, we just need to grow up and do this. We just need to do this. Give us the courage to share the good news with somebody this week. Give us the courage to be not egocentric, but Christ-centric, so that Jesus be glorified. And on the day of accountability, we can say, Lord, I brought this many with me into your holy heaven by faith and faith alone in Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.